हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So chapter 85, Lord Krishna instructs Vasudeva and retrieves Devaki's sons. Pratigya. The philosophy of inconceivable simultaneous one with and difference from the Supreme Lord is confirmed everywhere in the Vedas. This simultaneous one and difference is a very essential point in our philosophy. Like that everything's based on, because that is the philosophy, then everything is a delineation of that. Right? You're going to see everything through that flavor. Does that make sense? So, everything's one and different means that all aspects of the philosophy are seen in that context. You know, or like Ramanuja Vishishta Dwait, that specialness of oneness, like that. So what that specialness is, and that they'll see everything in that, Vishuddha Dwait, then that pure oneness, what is that? You know, so then that in the relationship with that. Yes.
Can we say that it means that anything we can interpret according to the basics of our philosophy? Everybody does that. So we interpret it according to simultaneous oneness and
yes.
difference.
Yes.
They interpret it differently according to their
philosophy. Yes, but it's within the Vaishnava context.
Yes,
but it'll have a different flavor. That's why you get different realms. Right? In other words, Achinta Beta Beta Tattva, that will get you into Braj. None of the other philosophies will get you into Braj. It's just, that's the way it is, because the philosophy that they're looking at, they're not worried about Braj. They may like Vrindavan, but they're not interested in Braj. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So is it that they stick to their point, or they're not able to see Achinta Veda Vittata, which is
things? No, it's just a matter of their... See, everything's revealed by the Lord, so as you surrender to the Lord, then He reciprocates. So because in their philosophy, there'll always be some aspect of that majesty. Or there may be an aspect where it's not majesty, it may have sweetness, or mixed with sweetness, or it may be sweetness, but it doesn't have the element of the Vipralamba. Right, so because of that, then they'll end up is something different. It's how you, as you surrender to Krishna, He reciprocates. So it's not a matter of they can't see like that. That's just not what they're interested in. Mm-hmm.
Because you have the example of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who was a
Shri. The example of
Gopal Bhatta Goswami.
Who?
Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Who is a Shri Vaishnava, born, but he. He accepted the Gaudiya's
function. Because it's how you surrender.
So is that the surrender comes because of the mercy of devotees?
Does the surrender come because of mercy of the devotees? It's basically it comes by association.
Mm-hmm.
So by association, then one gets that attraction, then that one gets that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So this aspect is very important, because we can say as well, you know, okay, it's just philosophy, but the point is when Krishna discusses, or anybody discusses with the residents of Vrindavan about their separation from Krishna, right, what's the point that they bring out? What philosophical points do they always bring up? I mean, what is Krishna's message for the gopis?
He's always with them.
He's always with them. And how?
By their remembrance of him.
There, but how can they remember it? What's the Udipan for that remembrance?
They speak about him.
That's there, but what are they speaking of? What gives rise to them speaking about it?
Whatever they see around.
Whatever they see around. So whatever they see, what does that mean? Whatever they see around is?
Raj,
but okay, but the whole point, you're not catching it.
Sorry,
anybody else is catching it?
4 months is a long time.
Okay.
They see Brahman.
Everything is non-different from Krishna. Krishna is everything. You know, said chapter shlok, he is everything. Then within that everything, then there's a value. So then because of their brajvasis, then they'll value it in that way. And then he is a person is beyond that. So what we're saying is all these things, understanding Krishna is everything, is Udipan for remembering Krishna the person. So that's it. You don't see that in any other philosophy. They don't take it to that degree. They don't need to take it to that degree. But because of that, then they can see Krishna in everything, everywhere, at all times. Vaishnavas are always absorbed in Krishna, but it's not that everything has to be an Udipan for them. But the Braj is everything can be seen in connection with Krishna. So they don't have problem with majesty. Majesty to them does not invoke reverence. Majesty just invokes a remembrance of Krishna as a person in Braj. Understand? So that's why it's the complete philosophy. It contains all the other philosophy. Now, because Krishna is complete, everything emanating from him is perfect and complete, so therefore, since the Vaishnava philosophy is complete in the Chintaveda-Veda Tattva, that the other philosophies emanating from it are also perfect and complete. But they give different flavors. Like the material world is perfect and complete in itself, but it doesn't give the flavor that the spiritual world does. And Vaikuntha is perfect and complete in itself, but it won't give the flavors in Goloka. And Goloka is perfect and complete, but it won't give the flavors in Gokul. You understand? Not understand?
It's a serious introduction.
I was just picking up where we left off. Should we talk about the weather?
It's like it's a sixth gear, you know, like...
I say it's like the pointing stick. They only have a one gear. There is no it. So it runs in seventh. You just start from seventh. There's no gears. I mean, if we talk about, you know, yeah, it's after the Purnima, so now it's getting the flavor of that little bit of the fall. You know, like in Kartik, that flavor that's there. It's already starting now. You can feel it a little bit, though. It doesn't have the chill and everything like that. But better. So it means that we're just bringing this out because we'll see this coming up, because this is the 85th, so when we get to the 87th, then we'll see more, you know, all the various parts of this, right? So the idea is that it's sometimes we may think, oh, this is all theory and philosophy and all that. We want to, you know, what about, you know, we are just interested in Krishna and the gopis and that. But when Krishna talks to the gopis, when they're in separation, he mentions this point. So this is the point, and then from that it expands, and there's so many ways it applies. So if that's appreciated, then you know that that's there. So anybody can find Krishna anywhere in anything they're doing. Sometimes it comes up, oh, well, I have to be practical, I gotta go to work, you know, you gotta, you know, drive in the traffic, and then you're at the work with all these karmis and doing all this kind of stuff. You know, how are we supposed to remember Krishna? Achintaveda-Veda-Tattva. Means there isn't anything that's not Krishna. It's just a matter of the flavor that's there. It's all Krishna, but it's just a matter of the flavor. But it reminds you of Krishna the person. So that's where the taste is. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, so then can you say that Vyasadeva also speaks of Achintya Veda with Tattva? when he writes Srimad Bhagavatam.
When he writes Srimad Bhagavatam, that's the whole point of Srimad Bhagavatam, is that he's written all the other literatures without that full understanding of the Achintya Veda Tattva. Then when Narad Muni discusses with him, and I think it's that fourth and fifth chapters in the first canto, then he sits down in his meditation, then he understands and realizes this point of Achintya Veda Tattva. Then that's when he writes Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why it says it's the mature fruit of Vedic knowledge. So it's written in his maturity because of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. So that's what makes Bhagavatam unique to the other literatures, because it brings that point out. Not that the other literatures aren't written in that, because the Vedic knowledge, the Vedic philosophy is Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. Right? But depending upon the individuals, a certain amount is revealed. Therefore, you have the various six systems of Vedanta philosophy. But actually, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva always includes all the other six in their proper position and proportion. So Bhagavatam's unique because the other Vedic literature are written based on that, but the reader may never catch that. The Bhagavatam, then, is written in such a way that you must catch that. Right? And even still, we don't catch it. But whatever, you know. At least Vyasadeva tries. You know? Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna imparted divine knowledge to his father, and along with Lord Balaram, retrieved his mother's dead sons. Having heard the visiting sages glorify Krishna, Vasudeva ceased to regard him and Balaram as his sons, and began praising their omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So this is the difference between other lines and the line of Achintya Bhakti Tattva. Right? Because as soon as they hear these glories, then they take that, that becomes then their method of viewing the Lord. Right? They hear about his grandeur, so then they think the Lord is great. Right? Does that make sense? So then him in his position of greatness becomes that goal. You know, that prayojana. So their affection for Krishna takes on that flavor. So that's what we see, is that the residents of Dwarka, you know, those in Goloka, right? They're going to, if it's in sweetness, they'll be completely absorbed in that. But if the flavor switches to majesty, then their view of Krishna also switches to majesty. When they deal with Krishna in sweetness, or the mood is sweetness, then they see Krishna in sweetness. So it's one or the other, right? So dwait advait. Right? Vishuddha dwait. Vishishta dwait. Do you understand? It has those, it's seen in this particular way. So the tendency is towards seeing that aspect of majesty. Well, it's intubated, made a touch. Well, they see that Mother Jashoda sees the universal form, and the form she sees is bigger than anybody else has seen, right? Krishna, I think it's described in Mahabharata, he showed the universal form five times. Right? So the one he shows, the Mother Jashoda, is bigger than any of those. Right? Because he's shown various aspects to different persons for a particular purpose. So the biggest one is shown to her. Right? Means, the others, I think they're seeing what's happening within the universe. Her, she's seeing what's happening in the cosmos. A bit bigger. Right? But all she thinks is, wow, I must have some indigestion, and it's kind of like giving me a funny, you know, like that I'm seeing things. Do you understand? Or even later, when it comes up so many times about Krishna's greatness, and the Brajbasis, they don't mind. Yeah, he is God, so what? They don't have a problem with him being God, but that doesn't in any way influence their affection for him. Right? But we see the Dwarkavasis, as soon as it comes up he's God, then they're there with folded hands and they completely forget about other relationships. And then Yoga Maya then covers them again, then they go back into that flavor. That's the difference. Brajbasi is that doesn't happen. Why? Because of understanding Achinta Bhedavedi. Yes.
What is making the difference between a person with a Brajbasi or a Dvarkavasi?
The Dvarkavasis, they appreciate majesty and sweetness as two separate things. Right? In Vaikuntha, everything is majesty. So even if there's the element of sweetness, let's say, like in the Shris with Andal, or with the Madhvas, you know, with the pastimes in Vrindavan. So, like, you know, Udupi Krishna, you know, he's there with his butter in his hand and stuff like that. But they think that Vaikunthapati, one of his opulences, is having sweet pastimes. Our Lord is so great, he also has these very nice sweet pastimes. So there's many Shris and Madhvas who their main focus is on Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. But it's not Braj. Because it's based on that aspect of majesty. It has the sweetness, but it's sweetness within majesty. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say, the royal party is there, and they're being very official in that. And then there's somebody who's, you know, they know a little bit more, so there might be a little bit more of a smile or an interaction that's a little bit more pleasant, but it's still in majesty. The whole environment's still majesty. Does that make sense? Yeah. While in Braj, they don't have that. It's sweetness. So even majesty is seen in the context of sweetness.
But is it according to the free will of the living entity?
According to the?
Free will?
Yeah. It's a matter of... It means we're being offered to be interested in this. And if we are, then it's there. And if we're not, then the whole rest of the spiritual world is there. Mm-hmm. Right? The getting into the spiritual world for devotees is not the problem. It's a matter of where they want to go.
Yes.
And that's according to their taste. And that's by association. And then that gives understanding, then through practice that gives realization. Right? Does that make sense? So for the Brajbasis, their value of Krishna in Vrindavan then is the value of Krishna in Vrindavan is that aspect of that sweetness and that intimacy and that closeness that he's always there. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
The difficulty with the sadhaka seems to be is that without knowing the majesty of Krishna, we shift to Partiva Ras and then turn it into Sahajiya.
Yes.
Because for us it's like, oh, Krishna is my baby, you know, Gopal, like this and that. And many people actually think like that without knowing the tattva. And if we look at Bhagavatam, it doesn't start with the Vrindavan pastimes. It builds up.
Yes, yes.
So how can we... With Bhakti, it's natural, but for us, we know Krishna is God. Krishna is who he is.
Yes.
According to Tattva. But then Rasa, can we actually separate those two things?
Means they go together. It's a matter of revelation. If it's based on, see, there's the sentiment that's there, but that sentiment has to be based on actual relationship with Krishna. Because means just let's look at the words. Okay? Krishna's my baby. Okay, what's the prominent point here? So is that actually prema? You understand?
Yeah.
Because Mother Jashoda, she's the mother of Krishna. Not so much Krishna's my baby. Because the flavor is that she loves Krishna in that attraction in parental rasa, that she wants to perform those services to serve Krishna. Does that make sense? But the point is it's the rati that makes it actually real. We put the emphasis on the secondary because I, you know, have Krishna there and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, this activity, that activity, this situation, that situation. That's what makes it then, you know, parental rasa. But that's not what makes it parental rasa at all. That may be the form it's used, but that's not parental rasa. Parental rasa is the attraction you have for Krishna. It's not the activities you do.
Can we say that that's the main difference between rag and vaidhi? Because rag, the mood comes first and then the activity follows. And in vaidhi, activity comes first.
Yes.
And then hopefully the mood will follow.
Yeah, no, the mood will follow if you follow, if you do. But then, as Prabhu is saying, you have to follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. Because we read about Krishna, but what does the acharyas say we should do? So those forms we should do. So we don't see the acharyas telling us that we should deal with Krishna as our baby. You know, like that. Maybe, you know, maybe, what is it, Mr. Bieber does, but we don't. Right? Right? So, that's the whole thing, is that we don't approach in that way. So we have what we're supposed to do. What does our sadhana look like, how we deal, and all those kinds of things. And so then as we go, then it... we start to become purified. Now, what's the principle, as we're seeing, of one of devotional, pure devotional service? It's about Krishna. So, technically, it's not... the secondary is not the main point. That, what form I'm using. Because some will say, you know, let me lean a little bit more on the sahajiya side like that. Oh, unless you, you know, read Braj pastimes, do this and that, you won't develop the Braj prema. But then the point is, you're using the secondary. Braj prema is the primary, not the secondary. Right? Secondary is a medium for prema. So, even we're using vaidhi, right? But if we're doing that to please Krishna, not ourselves, that's the core point of prema. See, because the sahajiya switch that my affection for Krishna and the forms of it is the main. Right? And then that, how you say? Then that is in Braja. But the acharyas point out it's the other way around. First is you have to develop the attitude of Braja Bhakti, which is, it's 100% about Krishna. Does that make sense? So then, that's what makes Braja Prema. It's 100% about Krishna. There's no interest in karma or jnana or, you know, the effects of it that you will get. You understand? When that mood is there, then Braja Bhakti can be revealed. So it's not the forms of it. So that's why we use standard forms. It means the activities we do, all the Vaishnavas, we all do the same activities. There may be a slight flavor difference in, let's say, how we dress the deities or different things like that. You know, we're here, so, you know, we'll be cooking in one way, while if you go to another part of India, they'll cook for Krishna in a different way. You know, according to the local kind of scene. But that's not the point. The point is that everyone's getting up, taking the bath, going to Mangalarti, chanting prayers, offering obeisances, then taking darshan, they're all worshipping Guru, they're all hearing from the Shastras. So everyone's doing that, but now, according to what your goal is that you're seeing that you want to serve Krishna in Vrindavan, want to Radha and Krishna, then that, cultivating with that full surrender, then this form can manifest that. Because we have to remember, everything being Krishna, why can't Krishna manifest through this? Krishna if everything is Krishna, he can manifest anyway. So this whole emphasis on the secondary is the real thing. No. The primary is the real thing. But since we don't know primary, then we're still left with secondary. But so therefore we follow the secondary that's recommended by the acharyas. And specifically our acharyas. Because we don't know the system, why should we mess with it? Like I just heard the other day, they were just figuring out just recently the levels of plastic in everything, you know, in people and plants, and it's all pervading, and it's having, you know, certain effects and everything like that. Now, when they came up with the idea of plastic, whenever it was back in the 40s or 50s, and it's the latest thing and newest thing and everything like that, and it's, you know, clean and pure and doesn't give any reactions, you know, it's like you put you know, sour things in certain things, it gives a reaction. So people used to use glass. Now we have plastic, so much easier, doesn't break. You can take it anywhere and this and that. And you just use it, you throw it away. You don't have to worry about keeping it and recycling it, you know, all that kind of thing. And so they thought it was really fabulous. But now there's so much of it everywhere that it's, so they don't know. Right? So that's why we just stick to the tradition. So what are they doing? They'll go back to, you know, going back to glass, going back to the, they'll go back to the same things they were doing before all these things. That was so archaic and that were modern and advanced and, you know, so that's the Vedic standard. That's just how it is. That's how you keep things. So they'll go back to this. So that's why we don't mess with it. We just say the acharyas say this, then we try to do that. We get as close as we can, the best we can, with the situation we have. Does that make sense? So we don't worry that, oh, but the Shris do this, and the Madhvas do that, and the Gaudiyas do that. We don't care. That's not our business. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you sit down for dinner at your house, and then if the kid brings up, no, but the neighbors are eating this. Does it matter? Yeah, go over there. And eat. I know one devotee who used to go over and eat with the neighbors. Like that. The neighbors were Punjabis. They were vegetarian, and his family wasn't. So he ate at the neighbor's house because his family wasn't vegetarian. Yeah, you know, this is as a kid. So, but you know, the point is. It doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that we don't like the neighbors and that they're bad. So the same way, it's not that all these other sampradayas are bad. It's just they do what they do and we do what we do. Different families, different groups. You know, all related, but different. You know, so Krishna has this unlimited flavor. And so there's so many ways to taste that interaction with Krishna. So we use these forms to express our devotion to Krishna, though we don't have realization, but through this form. But because we're associating and this is our goal, then Krishna reveals in this form. Does that make sense? So that's why we can be discussing, this is Lord Krishna instructs Vasudeva and retrieves Devaki's sons. So which realm is this in? Dwarka. Okay. And it opens with that Vasudeva and that he stopped seeing them as his sons, so it's just dealing with them in reverence. Right? What are we discussing? Brajabhakti and how it works and everything. You understand? That's the point. It doesn't matter the medium. You can get to that. So this whole thing is, that's why Prabhupada is so strong on criticism that, oh no, we just have to read Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and that only with the gopis and then that only, you know, the Panchadhyaya and, you know, this kind of thing. No. It doesn't work like that. Does that make sense? So, because it all comes down to the bottom line is Krishna reveals. Otherwise, we can't know. We only know what Krishna reveals. And that's according to how we surrender. So if you surrender to Him, you know, in the process of devotion, then He reveals in that process. If we surrender to Him as, you know, let's say karma, He reveals, you know, those pious activities and results. If it says yan, he'll reveal that knowledge and that kind of thing. Does that make sense? Good? Is that good?
Yes, many devotees, they take revelation as something internal. It should be internal. It can be guru, it can be Prabhupada books. It's got to come from the heart. But actually, it's not necessarily. We know two sources. One is external, one is internal. But somehow everybody's waiting for the internal revelation.
But the internal, where will that come from? Even we want to take that one. Where will it go from? It's coming from inside. Where's that inside?
From Paramatma.
From Paramatma. Okay. And now, are the scriptures, who are they representing?
Krishna.
Yeah. And the guru, who's he representing?
Krishna.
So then, what's the difference?
No difference, but still we're waiting for that.
But then, yes, but then is it, are we waiting for revelation or we're waiting for an experience?
Both.
The experience of the revelation. So, you know what I'm saying? In other words, it's about the secondary. You understand?
Yeah.
All these things, if you look at it, it's because the emphasis is on the secondary. And the what I'm going to feel in the kirtan, what I feel, is not about the name and the absorption in the name, which gives a feeling. It's about that I'm going to have this feeling. So it's not as much about the name. Oh, this kirtan, man, I always have a good feel. It's about me having the feeling. Not when this person does kirtan, I'm so absorbed in the name and remembering Krishna. You don't hear anybody say that. They always go, when he does kirtan, I feel so much in bliss or happy or so absorbed. Do you understand? They're always talking about the secondary. But that secondary is in connection to Krishna, so it's glorious. But it's by doing that regularly, then you get to the point where it's going to be about Krishna, rather than our experience in connection to Krishna. You understand? That is the difference between these realms. Braj, when they say it's pure devotion, means it's just about Krishna. But what the difference is how much is about our experience in it or not. So Braj, it's just about Krishna's experience, because it's just about his experience. Krishna makes it just about the devotee's experience. Right? But in Vaikuntha, because the aspect of liberation, it means Vaishnava liberation, and they're all nice things in connection to service to Krishna. Because it has that aspect, then Krishna reciprocates in that way, and it's more formal. You know what I'm saying? It's just like if someone wants to be there, how you say? How to get this book? Someone wants to hang out with you because they like you. So it doesn't matter the situation or this or that, or, you know, it doesn't matter. Right? Now someone else wants to be with you because you're a great guy and they appreciate you as a great guy. You understand? So then you always have to be in situations of greatness. You can't be in something that's, you know, you forgot to tie your shoelace or something. You know what I'm saying? It always has to be, you're always the best. So you have to have situations in which that can be. So they can't sit around with you at home, you know, on the couch, you know, eating a ordered out pizza. Right? Because that's not great. You understand? So Vaikuntha doesn't have those aspects of intimacy, because they can't, because their mood is God is great. And they want to be with that person who's great. But Braj, it's about they just want to be with the person. They don't care if the situation is great or not. Does that make sense? So you see, it's a slight difference. But it's all about Krishna. So pure devotional service means it's 100% about Krishna. But then that flavor within it, just to what degree it has, there's some flavor of the Brahman and Paramatma, or what flavor there is of Bhagavan. So within Bhagavan, whether it has a little bit of this flavor or whether it's just Bhagavan. Does that make sense? That's what we're trying to discriminate, because if we know it's there, then we'll notice it. We'll keep that in context when we're performing our activities. Right? But if we just go on, like, let us say someone joins the movement, right? And having joined, then they'll get association with others who are, you know, practicing all the natural aspects of Krishna consciousness. And so then they'll start to take those up and that, and then you'll see in 2 to 4 years, then they become good at that. Whatever's that environment that they're in, they'll become good at all the technique that's there. Right? They remember, they can chant the shlokas, they know all the songs, they can play kartals, they can play mridanga, they can sing Jai Radha Madhava, they can give a class, they can, you know, they can do all the different things that are sadhana, they can get up in the morning and actually get their rounds done and, you know, stuff like that. And so then after that time, then they've accomplished all these secondary things. Now we may see that with that, now they'll think, now I'm a senior devotee. Right? Because they're taking it, the secondary is the senior. Rather than that's the form, now you can say you're solidly situated, now you can be steady in that trying to develop your love for Krishna. Does that make sense? It is just like if I want to do something, you know, it's just like if I want to cook, I have to be in the kitchen. Right? So, now to get to the kitchen, there may be a little bit of activities and preparations that you have to do. You know, maybe you change your clothes or do this, or we're cooking for Krishna, so we take a bath, or, you know, all these different things. So we finally get to the kitchen. And when we get to the kitchen, now we think that I'm a super chef. But have we cooked? You understand? So that's the whole point, is now you're in the kitchen, now you start, now you can seriously cook. So that's where it begins. So that's the whole point, is that nishta, that's where it begins. Now you're solid that you're always just doing things in connection to Krishna. Before that, sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. So we say, for those who are on the neophyte platform, someone on the platform nishta, we'll say they're advanced. But the person on the platform nishta, he thinks, I'm on the bottom of this process. Someone who has taste, now that's more. Someone then who has attachment, someone who has, who's on the platform of, you know, ecstasy. But then, you know, within that, then who's has that attraction, to, you know, who's situated nicely, who's able to perform their duties regularly, who has that attraction for Krishna, who's able to take part in Krishna's pastimes with that full absorption, who has naturally now is situated permanently in that position of prema. So we see it's the same process. So even nishta is that someone has shraddha, means that now they have, they're steady in having faith. Right? Sadhusanga, now they're steady in that. You know what I'm saying? And so when you get to nishta, means basically in all the general activities of devotional service, now you're steady. Right? So even he's an anishta bhakti, his faith is steady, his association is steady, but his practice may be sometimes good, sometimes not, sometimes... So you're trying to make that faith, that steadiness is there. So then from that is that secondary aspect. Then we have to understand it's important, but it's only important in connection with the primary. So that Krishna's my baby, it's like, okay, well, who are you? You know, I'm saying, okay, Krishna's your baby. We know who Krishna is. That's the Vedic literature has described him. Right? But who are you? You know, to quote the Catechism. You understand? So now, that's the question. So, that's the whole point. It's not that, oh, Krishna's my baby, that makes me advanced. Well, who are you that Krishna is your baby? And what? Okay, who are you and what's your relationship with your baby? Because if he's a baby, like you're saying he's a baby, then that's a 24-hour job. And are we doing a 24-hour job of taking care of that baby? You understand? Or when it, you know, hits a certain time of the day, then we're on, you know, Facebook for X amount of hours. Can you leave a baby there for X amount of hours? What happens if you leave the baby alone for 3 hours? Yeah. It doesn't work. So then, is Krishna your baby? If he's your baby, you don't do that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the question: is who are you that has this relationship with this baby? You know what I'm saying? So they make it about themselves, but they try to avoid who they are. They don't know who they are. So that's why we have a standard process, because it's easier to understand that. Because when you throw in the sentiment, Krishna's my baby, okay, from the sentimental side, it feels good, and it's connected to Krishna, nice, you know, whenever that sentiment is there. But in between, then we see it's less connected. Well, if you use just the normal thing of sadhana, then there's more chance that there's going to be more connections. Mm-hmm. Well, if we make it up ourselves, then it's always going to be, it's going to be weak. So, does that work?
Mm-hmm. The baby stuff thing that you spoke
about. The baby stuff.
So, I think so, Sugudra Kumar Sampradaya, the followers of Srinathji.
The followers of Srinathji.
Yeah. So they put the baby, I mean, they put Krishna to sleep, you know, for a long amount of time. saying that it is the baby and the baby will be sleeping. You know? So what is it authentic that this is how they deal with Krishna?
Yes, but okay, they're dealing with Krishna by he's as a baby, the Vallabhas, and so then they put him to sleep. But what's the question?
Is it bona fide?
No, but the whole thing is that what is the how do you define bona fide?
That what is being defined by the scriptures and acharyas.
Yes, and so therefore, do our acharyas describe it like that?
Yeah.
Do their acharyas describe it like that?
Should be.
Yeah, so then where's the question? You understand?
Mm.
Okay, see, here, what we're going to be pushing on, this, especially this term, we started a bit last term, but this term especially we're going to be doing, is that in this process, means we shravana, we hear, right? So when we hear, then from that comes, you know, we start to hear things, we start, our doubts, misgivings, all those things come up, right? So then that's going to be, that's the first stage, shravana. So shravana is for clearing doubts, right? Manana means we're actually contemplating it. We take it ourselves, what we've heard, we try to apply that to the situation we're in. Then when we apply that situation, then we may get some results. And then we analyze that, is the result solid, is it not, is it this, is it that, how to improve and all that. Okay? So for this term, we expect the questions to be more on, we've thought about it, I can't figure it out, rather than it's just a doubt. Does that make sense? Because this, what we just dealt with now, that's just a doubt. It just came up, you didn't think. Because we're saying everything has to be based on acharyas. That was the last point. Then he asked this question. The people are doing this. So the point is they're doing that, but is that according to their acharya? If it is, then what's the problem? So it's just we see that there's some difference there, and just immediately it comes up as a question. It shouldn't. You have to think about it. So I'm going to be expecting that during this term. Does that make sense? So no one should get uncomfortable if I bring this point out. Because that's the way it is. We've been just working on just throwing out doubts because they're interesting for the last 8 years. You know. So that's got to stop.
Then let me speak of Achintya Veda with Tattva, which is in itself complete. And then the Tattvas of the other Sampradayas, they are simply to be the derivatives of this Achintya Veda with Tattva.
They're simply derivatives, yes.
So what happens is that they see only the partial truth of the whole.
No, it's not a matter of they only see a partial truth. They see that particular aspect of truth that matches their surrender to Krishna.
The thing is that they are partially complete only, whereas...
If means before we were saying how Krishna is perfect and complete.
Yeah.
So everything coming from Krishna is perfect and complete.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay. After glorifying his sons, Vasudeva fell at Lord Krishna's lotus feet and begged him to drive away the conception that the Lord was his son. Instead, Lord Krishna restored that conception by instructing Vasudeva in the science of Godhead. And upon hearing these instructions, Vasudeva became peaceful and free from doubt. Right? Because in that element of reverence, these other flavors don't fit in. Because if he's God, how can he be your son? Right? So he was wanting to get rid of that because he was in this mood. But Krishna, no. They're Dwarkavasis. They have that mood. And so then he brings that back. Then Mother Devaki praised Krishna and Balaram, reminding them how they had retrieved the dead son of their spiritual master. She said, please fulfill my desire in the same way. Please bring back my sons who were killed by Kamsa so I may see them once again. Entreated in this way by his mother, the two lords went to the subterranean planet of Sutala, where they approached Bali Maharaj. King Bali greeted them respectfully, offering them seats of honor, worshipping them and reciting prayers. Krishna and Balaram then requested Bali to return Devaki's dead sons. The lords received the boys from Bali and returned them to Devaki, who felt such a surge of affection for them that milk began spontaneously flowing from her breasts. Overjoyed, Devaki fed the children her breast milk, and by drinking the remnants of milk once drunk by Lord Krishna himself, they regained their original forms as demigods and went back to heaven. Shloka Anusharan, summary of verses. Verses 1 to 20, Vasudeva offers prayers. 21 to 33, Devaki's request. 34 to 59, Krishna brings back Devaki's sons. Verses 1 to 20, Vasudeva offers prayers. Sri Bhadarayani said, one day the two sons of Vasudeva, Sankarsana and Achyuta, came to pay him respects, bowing down at his feet. Vasudeva greeted them with great affection and spoke to them. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, it is a Vedic custom that the junior members of the family should offer respects to the elders every morning. The children and disciples especially should offer their respects to their parents, the spiritual master, in the morning. In pursuance of this Vedic principle, Lord Krishna and Balaram used to offer their obeisances to their parents, Vasudeva and Devaki. Right? So it's just a part of the etiquette and the culture. So it makes the culture go very well. The relationship is established very nicely. Plus it establishes the principle of authority, which is very important, because the children will start with their parents, then from their parents to other seniors in the family, then the spiritual personalities, then there's the acharyas, and there's, Krishna's associates, Krishna, the scriptures. So all these different things come up. So if one doesn't have that faith and authority, then all kinds of, maladies come up in one's mentality. Right? Because tradition is based on authority. Now the point is you don't know why it's being done. So if you have faith and authority, what will be the question?
How can I apply it?
How can I apply it? Okay, what else?
How can I understand?
How can I understand? What is it for? Why are we doing this? Like Krishna asked his father, why are you doing this yajna? Right? So that's the natural thing. You have faith and authority, and you have faith that the answers are there, and it should be something to be done. You just want to educate yourself how to do it. Now, if you don't have faith and authority, as soon as then something that's traditionally practiced doesn't match what your interest, what's the question?
Why should we do this?
This is archaic. Oh, this is restrictive. This is not important. All these different things. So there's no sense that maybe it's right, because its authority is automatically wrong. Right? And then, but because we have to have form, right? The living and conditioned soul has to have religion. He has to have a form, an identity, an activity, a result, a goal. So now, the religious process they'll use, where will that come from? What will be the authority for it?
Themselves,
their own feelings. As we were saying before, it's their feelings is the authority that I'm doing this. It's not that this is what's given by the acharyas, this is what should be done. Does that make sense? So that's why this whole point is very, very important. So the children don't know all the depth, but they start off here. So when they get to the point where they may ask questions, they already are situated in a respective authority. Now their questions will be about how to apply this authority in their personal life. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So being an authority, either a spiritual master or parents, is a very responsible position. Because if one is not able to give the right answers to the questions coming up, then they will lose, the dependents will lose the faith, in the authority.
The dependents will lose faith and authority if the authority doesn't have the answer. But the point is, if they have faith and authority, they know that there is an answer, just maybe these persons don't know, but somebody knows. Mm-hmm. The scripture knows, this, that knows.
Mm-hmm.
So why should there be a problem? If the culture is established, then there's no problem. You don't know, but the parents, they know how much they know, and they'll point to someone else and say, I only know this much and that. So then also you have to have that character.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So in other words, there is no excuse for not having faith in authority. There just isn't one. You can say authorities behave bad, this, that, but the point is that, and then how many authorities have it? When we say authorities behave bad, go ahead, list me the names. Knock me out. Give me the names of all the people who are in position of authority that behave badly. I guarantee you're not going to get past your first five fingers. Because the mind does not need more than five fingers to come up with an opinion and a determination. You only need one. And then that's supported by another one or two, and then so many theys and thus, and the government and the man and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, actually how many are they? You had this, you had a bad experience with this one, and maybe later one with that one. And then if it's really experience, okay, then this one. That's it. Three people. So, you know, what about your... So therefore then, you're making the scientific statement that all people in position of authority are all bad. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so therefore, there is no excuse for the living entity not to have faith in authority.
Mm-hmm.
On the side of the living entity. On the side of authority, they should be seeing that they are not the ones that break down the faith in already a faithless person.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Yeah, because otherwise, if you have faith in authority, it doesn't matter what happens, that, then it's an individual. So the person's the problem because they as a person is a problem, not because the position is a problem. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. The affection of the Lord for Nanda and others has been described. Now, related to this, the affection of the Lord for Vasudeva and others is described. After the journey to Kurukshetra, or to indicate auspiciousness, showing affection to their father, the brothers came to Vasudeva in the morning, as a daily custom, because they were his sons. This happened when they were alone with him, or it happened at an auspicious time to give him mercy. Vasudeva greeted them with affection, with blessings and praises. He spoke with joy because Balaram attracted all hearts by spreading his glories, and Krishna was full of all powers. Right? So we see here, Krishna is full of all powers because he's the person who's there. And Balaram is the one who spreads these glories. That's the difference in the position. Because Krishna, then, he is full of all power, so it's all centered around him as the Lord of the Ichashakti. Right? And then Balaram, as the Lord of the, you know, overall Lord of the Jnana and Kriya, that expands everywhere. So then you see the Lord's glories everywhere. Does that make sense? So it's just naturally the two different flavors that are there. That's why Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sukadeva Goswami continued, having heard the great sages' words concerning the power of his two sons, and having seen their valorous deeds, Vasudeva became convinced of their divinity. Thus, addressing them by name, he spoke to them as follows. Vasudeva said, O Krishna, Krishna best of yogis, O eternal Sankarsana, I know that you too are personally the source of universal creation and the ingredients of creation as well. Now you always notice that these two points are always made about the cause and effect. Krishna is, he is the cause of creation, he's also the ingredients of creation or the effect. Because that's very important, because if he's the cause and effect, that means in all effect, you can always see the cause. Because the cause always is contained in the effect. That means, according to Chintabheda Veda Tattva, no matter what you're looking at, it's always going to be Krishna. You understand? But there's difference in flavor, because even though you're looking at Krishna, Krishna as a person is beyond all this. Because how has he become everything? Right? Through Balaram, who spread his glories. Right? So Krishna is everything through Balaram. But the point is it's Krishna who's everything through Balaram. So therefore you remember the person Krishna. So even though he is everything, he's beyond that. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. You say that it is through Balaram that Krishna is everything. But in Vedanta Sutra mentions that Krishna is everything via his subtle shaktis.
Through his shaktis.
his shaktis.
Through his shaktis.
So how can he just...
No, but have you tried to put this together? This is my point.
Yeah.
This is the point, as you just heard it.
No.
That's that. Okay. Krishna, I'm saying Balaram, but then before we studied that as Krishna through his shaktis, so now it's not through his shaktis, so therefore I have a doubt because now we're saying it's Balaram, but before we said it's shaktis, it's just a doubt. Have you tried to think about this?
Because I'm thinking in terms of Kriya and Gyan Shakti, which Balaram is trying to control.
Yeah. And what are they doing? What do they support? Because in that, when we're saying Griya and Kana, we just mentioned that there. But when we say through his shaktis, he's gone through everything and makes it work. That Shakti Parinamabad. Right? Mm-hmm. But the point is that who's the lord of those particular shaktis? So when the Jnana Shakti is working, then Advaitacharya is there. When the Kriya Shakti is working, then Balaram is there. Right? But why are they working? To serve Krishna as you know, as means Krishna is the lord of the Icha Shakti. So the point is, because we say Balaram does not have Shaktis?
No, I think that's true.
Yes, so that's the point, is first you try to put these together. You understand? Then ask the question. Otherwise, you just throw up the doubts, and then we have to explain something that actually, at this point, doesn't need to be explained. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I wanted this particular point to reach.
You want that point, but did you try to understand it first? That, okay, Krishna Shaktis, Balaram, that means Krishna is expanded as Balaram, that Balaram through his Shaktis got it done. But it's Krishna who's expanded as Balaram, so Krishna and his Shaktis. So where is the thing? A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. But you have to do that process. If you just go A and C are different, you know, hey, what's going on here? That's Shravana. As I said, this year, it's going to be Manana. Otherwise, every time you ask a question, I'm going to bring this up. Each and every time. That's a promise. You understand? So, therefore, so that you've already gone enough, you've tried to make that, you can't make the connection, then you have to ask the question according to that. Then it's obvious that, okay, you've tried to apply it, it didn't apply. That question is what we want to answer. We don't want to answer just the doubt that comes up. Because the doubt is based on words. Shakti, Balaram, those are two different words. One starts with B, one starts with S. You know what I'm saying? One's Shakti-man, one's Shakti. But the point is, Shakti-man has Shakti. So therefore, the Shaktis work on behalf of the Shakti-man, and that Shakti-man, there's a hierarchy there, and then it goes back to Krishna. You would have already figured that out. Oh, that's what he's talking about. But here it's not. I'm not going to use my brain. I'm just going to, as soon as it comes in, you're going to ask a question, because asking questions, there's a lot more taste and rasa in it than it is thinking. You have to get to mana. Like that. You have to try. And if you try, then you'll see Krishna will reveal. It'll come more of that. Then the questions you ask will be on the point. Because otherwise, that is a Bhagavad Gita question. Literally. That's not a 10th canto, end of the chapter, end of the canto question. It's not a doctor of theology question. It's a, you know, how you say, diploma of theology question. You understand? So we want to have questions that are in line with the subject matters there. I've let it ride all these years, but it's come to the point where we can't progress. We have too much to discuss. And we can't progress because we're asking. Atma Tattva had this problem when he started on Darshan Chakshus. The kids would always ask questions in the Vedanta Chakshu, the Darshan Chakshus level. No, on the Darshan Chakshus level. But all the adults who came, they all asked on Shastra Chakshus level. Literally. Because they just think, I'm smart because I have been trained in the knowledge and skill of secondary. Yes. And in secondary, you know, how you say, the words, the bird, or whatever it is, you know, And so it's all about that. And if the words don't match, then, you know, there's something wrong here, because it's all about that. Because we, as a child, yes, it's all about people and interactions and relationships. But now we've matured into adult where it's just about externals. And so we wouldn't want to get that deep. You understand? And so then automatically thinks, because I'm asking a secondary question, I'm more mature than these kids that are in the class. So the kids are way more mature because they're actually thinking on the level of the class. So the whole point is you have to ask these questions on this level of the class. This forum that we use to answer questions, we have to have it there so that questions will be answered. But as I said, from this term, we're going to be pushing that the questions match the level that's here. Someone who comes in and drops in for a few days, they ask a question, and we'll try to adjust that. But who's here has to ask on this level, otherwise it's not. We won't progress. We just won't progress. Does that make sense?
It mentions here source of the universal creation and the ingredients of creation as well. We said that it always stated together.
Yes.
Because if it's not together, it means it's not the Lord. Can we call it Lord Brahma if they only say, like, he's the source of universal creation?
Yeah, you would use it that way, because he's not the source of the ingredients. Okay. Right? Because when we talk about maintenance, maintenance means you can maintain if you can supply things, right? Like, how do you maintain your house unless you can supply the ingredients to maintain it? Right? So therefore, the person, the householder, he's the maintainer of the house because he provides what's necessary. Right? If it's money that's necessary, or it's work, or it's time, or, you know, or it's ingredients, or whatever it is, he supplies that. Therefore, he's called the maintainer of the house. Right? But now when it comes to creation, who gives the elements that are there? Krishna. So that's the whole point. That he gives and Brahma doesn't. So Brahma is the creator, but he's only the secondary creator. He already works with the ingredients that are there. It's like Prabhupada says, the engineers and architects. They work with what's already there. They didn't create those ingredients or the plan or anything. They just put it together. Okay. So as we'll notice here, is because as we go through his prayers, we'll start to see that they always are presenting these prayers in pairs of opposites. Right? Like that. He's the unborn, that he's born as the, you know, son of Vasudeva. You know, he's the creator of everything, but he's the ingredients of wet as well. You'll see that these, because that's the whole point, is Krishna is both of these. Now, it's not that it's the only way. It can be used also. You might just take one side of it because of a particular flavor. But we're seeing here is that this is the aspect of the Chintabheda Veda Tattva, is that both these are simultaneously correct at one time. That's the uniqueness. That's the specialness of Krishna. While other avatars, you see, they take a particular, they have that, but they'll be taking a particular flavor or mood or things like that. The Krishna is simultaneously the sweetest, but the source of everything. He is all knowledge. He has nothing to do with anything, though he does everything. He's absorbed in his pastimes in the courtyard of Mother Jashoda, but he knows everything. That can only be, of these, why these are special is because these points can only be reconciled in Krishna alone. Right? Even in the others, like even if you have the Lord in Vaikuntha, but why is the Lord in Vaikuntha doing lordship in Vaikuntha? What is the purpose of that? You know what I'm saying? It means, of course, as Vishnu, then his own satisfaction. But why is there that situation? Please, the devotees. And what's the devotees' move towards Krishna?
Reverence.
So therefore, Krishna expands Vaikuntha. Balaram therefore expands that part to fulfill Krishna's desire to interact with devotees in that context. So you still have all these three levels. Each of Shakti is going on there. And so then the Kriya is taken care of by Ananta. You understand? So you're always going to have that formula. For being complete, it's always the same formula that keeps shifting into different situations. Okay?
A related question. on. Because devotees sometimes they make a mistake, because they think because it's easier on our level to understand the opulence, because it's quite obvious this is God.
Right.
So they think that maybe Braj is not our mood. Because
really, the opposite, so he's not our gate.
Yeah, because it's very hard to relate to this now, and the only thing they can relate, God is great. They do understand many technicalities, but the main point, they get confused and they think maybe Vaikuntha, that's the place.
Wow, I'm impressed. Wide range.
The whole range.
Yeah, so the whole point is that it's the medium we're using, because we don't have any. The only reason that we're worshiping Krishna and not ourselves as God is because we've gotten frustrated trying to establish ourselves as God. It hasn't worked, and now someone's coming along with an alternative to explain why we're frustrated and how we can solve that frustration. Right? So the majesty is there because then we don't think we're God. But the point is God is a position. But there's a person who's in that position of God. So we're interested, we first accept that he is God, so that we give up that we're God. You know, it's all about us. And so we're servant. And then, with time, then we start to appreciate how God is a person, and then that person does what he likes to do. Because being God, all the God stuff goes on without he doesn't even have to think about it. Right? It means him not thinking about it, he can be simultaneously thinking about it and taking care of it, but he doesn't have to think about it. So that's the point, is these contradictions are all nicely reconciled in Krishna. So what we'll generally see is that much of the time the prayers have these contradiction aspects. They may go on to explain it and take a particular point and bring it out, but they'll generally always be based on these seemingly pairs of offices. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the uniqueness of Krishna, is that everything's from him, so that means anything that's different is still from him. You know, like you have the parents and they have so many children, and the kids so many times have very, very different personalities. But all those came from the parents. So for the parents, they see them all as just the kids. They're all there. Now the kids may see that there's a problem here. The parent makes cupcakes for everybody, and one of them thinks that they're all for them. Yeah, so that's another thing. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who manifests as the Lord of both nature and the Creator of nature. Mahavishnu, right? So therefore we even see as there, as he's separate from Mahavishnu, but at the same time he is Mahavishnu. Everything that comes into existence, however and whenever it does so, is created within you, by you, from you, for you, and in relation to you. So that is the complete. We haven't come across that before. That's unique. Okay. However and whenever it does this, created within you, by you, from you, for you, and in relation to you. The BBT purport states, to casual observers, the known world appears to be produced by many different agents. A good indication of this conception is language itself, which traditional Sanskrit grammarians explain as reflecting the visible diversity of nature. In the standard Sanskrit grammar taught by the sage Panini, the verb expressing action is taken to be the essential core of a sentence, and all other words function in relationship to it. Right? Because as we see in just how sound works, the Shabda Brahman works, is that as it rises through the chakras, because when you speak, it has to come out through the voice chakra. But it has to start. It starts at the Muladhara, so it has to get through, you know, go through four chakras to get to the fifth, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're first, you have a concept, a feeling of what you want to say. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have words yet. Just like you know that there's something, there's a mood, Do you understand? And so then you'll start to go. So now what do you want to get done? Right? Because this mood means then there has to be a result. Right? Result comes from an action. Right? But action is done by things. Nouns. Does that make sense? Right? So to accomplish the mood that I want, there has to be a result that matches that mood. That means there has to be an action that matches that result. And then there has to be suitable, you know, things or nouns to perform that activity or the verb. You understand? So as it comes up, there's that feeling. Then it comes into the energy of it. Then it comes into the activity that wants to be done. Then it becomes nouns. Right? And then when you speak all these nouns. The verb will be in there somewhere. But you can say a huge sentence of nouns, you know, with just, you know, one verb. You understand? So that's why Pani is explaining it's the essential core of a sentence. So everything goes around your verb. So it's not that they're all there is equal. The verb is the central thing. Then the nouns are around that, the primary nouns, the main ones. Then after that you have so many 18 secondary nouns. Yes?
Can we say that verb represents adhideya tattva?
Yes. But the point is, yes, and the noun represents the aspects from the sambandha that are applied with the verb. Because the verb is, the action itself is an action, but you're doing the action with things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's the nouns.
Right.
So you want to cook, you're cooking with the pots.
Yeah.
Right? So the cooking is the verb, but the pots then are the nouns that accomplish it. So you can say it's all about the pots. No, it's all about the verb. So that's the point, is the verb or the action, what you want that you want to get done. That's actually the main point. And so unless that's about Krishna, then it may be the primary form of secondary. But it's still all secondary because it doesn't please Krishna. Until it gets to Krishna, it doesn't actually become fully primary. Mm-hmm. Because you have the primary context which has its secondary support. Right? So in the spiritual world, then there's a non-difference because you always use the secondary to please Krishna, so you don't have to make that distinction. But when you reflect that into the material world, it means you've already left Krishna out of it, so technically it can never be primary. But within the actual original primary, you're performing an activity that gets a result. Right? So that's why you do the activities to get the result. But that result is only gotten because you want to please Krishna. Right? But in the material world, we perform the activity to get the result because we want to please ourselves. So even though it appears there's a primary aspect to the secondary, it's not really primary because it doesn't get to Krishna, it only gets to ourselves. That's why we say everything goes back to ourselves on the material platform. It's always about what we're going to get out of it, what we're going to receive. Does that make sense? But because it's a reflection, therefore it has the same kind of function and mechanics. That's why we can use examples to give examples of the original. But because of it being a reflection, it doesn't have that perfection. So there'll always be a weakness in an example. So there has to be some desire to know, some understanding and all that. Does that make sense? No? Thank you.
Okay.
Huh? So we have a break. Wow. Yes, we shall have a break.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatāya Gaura Prema ki.